Welcome to Back to the Monday Night War. It is April 28th, 1997. I'm Cav Manning, along with my English cohort back in jolly old England, Mr. Billy Boddy.
Yowie wowie.
Oh, it's time. You know what? This was enjoyable these last couple weeks of watching Nitro because it is now only an hour show for a couple weeks because of the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
So it rolls pretty quickly. And then I was like, oh, great. And then the amount of clips that we have for Raw might be the most I've ever fucking had. I was like, I thought I was going to get away with it easy without so many clips. But, I mean, that's why people tune in. They like the clips. And they should strap in for this one because there is a lot. So shall we get to it right away? We'll start with Nitro since it was the earlier show of the evening.
So let me get. So the NBA, when is the NBA playoffs, right?
Yeah.
That means the whole playoffs, or does that mean the Atlanta Hawks are in the playoffs?
No, that means the whole playoffs pretty much until the finals.
Okay.
Yeah, and they don't own the Hawks. They got nothing to do with them. It's the Braves. Yeah.
Right, so that channel, does that channel still do that now?
Yeah, TNT. TNT is basketball. Yeah, pretty much. They got basketball on a couple days a week. A lot of time on Wednesdays. But playoffs, whenever the hell they're on playoff time, they're on that channel and ESPN.
Right.
So they got the rights. They show an old replay to start this show off, and it's Flair beating the shit out of Vader. And Flair like, oh, I've taken down big men before because it's him against NWO type of shit. So they're kind of showing that, and it's Flair with an era that I never knew of, and I do remember seeing it time to time, but a different championship belt in WCW.
Is it not the international belt or something that they had for a bit?
You know what? That's a good question because I do not know. I just know it wasn't the big gold, and I thought they had changed and said, oh, here's a new championship looking title, and then they brought back that old fucking gold shit.
It's either the United States title, which used to look weird, or it's the international title.
Really? The U.S. title didn't used to always just be the U.S. title?
No.
Because this thing was, yeah, it'd be interesting to actually go back and take a look and try to dig
Even
into
the,
that.
The U.S. title now is pretty boring, like the one on TV on WCW right now.
Oh, really? You think so?
I can't even tell you who has it actually right now, isn't it?
I know who has it.
Is it Malenko?
Yes, because that's going to be the first match of the night, actually. Right. But the first clip is Piper Flair. At the booth, they show up at the fucking announcer's booth, like to start off the show. 1 minute, 15 seconds in. Here you go.
All right, I don't want no trouble out of you.
Yeah, give him a microphone. It's all yours.
Where are we at here? We got TV. Hang on. Starting to get close to the cuckoo's nest now. Getting real tired. I hear. The NWO about these big lions, these big lions that are PO'd at us because we left potholes in the road. What? Too lazy to fill in a few potholes? Are you that young generation just wants to skateboard and collect your check? I'm sick and tired of you. I'm up to here with you. I'll tell you what, I don't need to wait to Charlotte. I say we do it right here, tonight. Come on out, give it your best shot, or don't bother shooting at all.
If you don't like us, dancing all night, and dancing longer. Come on out, shut it down. Woo! Because we're ready to go.
So, this is them starting off the show. You know, it's all this tradition bullshit. This is when this started going on. Tradition versus the new fucking breeds and all this kind of crap. Not to be confused with a new breed that'll be there in a few years. Prince Iaukea versus Dean Malenko for the U.S. title. Dean Malenko, of course. Juventut versus Six for the Cruiserweight title. I'm like, oh, look at this. What is this, fucking pay-per-view? And then we get Hall, Nash, and Six at the booth. It's interesting because did you notice Hall's belt during this?
No. What was I supposed to see?
He's missing one of the fucking side plates from when the Steiners threw it on the floor.
Oh, and they just gave him the same belt back.
Yeah, it's just the same fucking belt with one of the fucking pieces missing. Let's hear Hall, Nash, and Six.
I don't need this.
For life.
Hey, we're sitting in the back, and we heard those two dinosaurs, Flair and Piper, talking about how much they want some of the Wolf Pack. Well, to Flair and Piper, I just gotta say, whatever. Nobody cares what you guys have to say. Because everybody here in Norfolk is here for one reason. And that's because it's the NWO. They love us. They love us.
One other stipulation, boys, and that's this. In Charlotte, North Carolina, we got no problem getting in the ring and giving you the beating of your life. But it'll be for 75% of the gate. Because when you got the best in the business, like you're looking at right now, boys, it don't come cheap.
Give us the loot, baby. Give us the loot.
Hollywood, we miss you. NWO for life.
So we get now Benoit versus Regal. Taskmaster shows up, Jackie shows up, and Ming shows up. Everybody's beating the piss out of each other. You have an NWO promo, the old black and white commercial promo, with Macho Man this time.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
NWO for life. He's got a tongue lashing. The madness is something which the Macho Man was trying to keep inside. I am the madness. But now the situation has totally escalated where the madness is totally out of control. Say that again 3 times. Did anybody hear what I was talking about? I like it. Hey, take one. Between you and me, Diamond Dallas Page, the way I see it is that you and I are on the road to disaster, right?
That's right.
That's right. Ready. Diamond Dallas Page, DDP. I am your master. I didn't know your name before, but I know it now. The fact is, you're in my world. And Kimberly's gonna witness the fact that her husband can't handle the Macho Man Randy Savage. Kimberly's been dreaming about the Macho Man Randy Savage. But that just shows she's got class with a capital K.
I don't think
she
so.
Would like to, but you gotta understand the fact that I am the Macho Man Randy Savage. Your man is not the man that you thought that he was. So, the next time you meet me, DDP, you're gonna realize that you never should have knocked on the madness's door because I am your worst nightmare. I like the way you said it. You feel it? You gotta understand something. You're a wannabe, you and Kimberly both. I don't know what your problems are. NWO 4. Light. It doesn't get any stronger than the Macho Man. Dig it? Yeah.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Alrighty. After that is Lex Luger and the Giant teaming up to go against the fucking Canadians again, which who gives a shit, really. And then you have Barbarian versus Mongo. Mongo getting a fucking win against the Barbarian. I wonder if Barbarian's like, fuck this shit.
Well, I mean, Mongo needs to beat somebody because he's got a big match in the next pay-per-view, so...
Yeah, I guess so. They got to build him up. And what's funny, eventually, actually this year, he's going to get the U.S. title. So that'll be interesting. Then you get Piper and Flair talking. Talking in the ring. Now, I want you to listen to this. I get the whole... I left the entire clip in where they call NWO out. NWO shows up. And then a brawl ensues. I want you to listen to the end of it.
Hot Rod! Hot Rod!
What a duo. They're loose.
It be time to fight! Why try to go out and fix what is not yet broken? Woo! Norfolk, Virginia, we are live, the Hot Rod, the Nature Boy. We would like the NWO out here right now.
Oh, yeah. They've been called out. Draw the line in the sand of Virginia Beach.
Nash, don't know about you, want to find out. But six, I know I can whip your ass, pal.
Oh.
Because I've been the world champion more times than you've had pieces of ass, pal. Woo!
Don't look at me. I wouldn't look at you. So where are they? They've been called out now, and they've dropped the microphone. They are challenging the NWO to come out, and basically, earlier, the outsider said, yeah, whatever, here we come. Oh, and here's the music.
Get into the house.
But there's more NWO members than there are Piper and Flair out there right now.
Do you think that matters to them?
Oh, of course it doesn't matter to them, but it's not healthy.
Yeah, but you got to be smart about the situation, Tony. I mean... You've got to be smart about it. These guys are cowards. They're pack rats. They'll come out in groups.
And you know they've been using boards and bats and whatever they can get their hands on. I don't think this is a wise move.
We heard the NWO music, and I don't know what in the world is going on here. Where are these guys?
I don't know. Hall and Nash, they're really quick to shoot off their mouth. But
wait, everybody's pointing up in the air. This must be Sting.
Wait a minute. It's papers.
From the top of the Norfolk Scope, papers are coming down everywhere.
The highest form of propaganda you're witnessing right now.
Who's going to pick
up? Is this all you got?
What do one of those papers say?
What does it say anyway?
Somebody get me one of those papers.
They are coming down.
Is this all you got?
There it is.
Come on. Is this all you got? Come on.
Tradition bites NWO for life is what it says.
Come on, boys. You drew the house. Come on down and face it. Hot Rod.
A smack right in the face of Flair.
Come on, boys.
And that's Bischoff's doing. You can tell that.
And Piper and what they stand for. Tradition against renegades, against rebels, against guys, thugs, gang members, if you will, who just don't give a damn. And right now, they are letting their propaganda do their talking. But where are they?
Piper looks like he can't read.
But
he knows what it means if he can't read, believe me. He can read.
Where are the cowards?
Well, you said a mouthful there, legend. Oh, here they are. I didn't expect them to come out at all. I thought it would just be the propaganda, and that would be it.
For life.
Well, they're making their way to the ring here.
Yeah, but they're not making their way very fast.
Sixes.
They sent sixes. 20 to go, all on his own.
And Flair and Sick are going at it.
Now the guy's not smart. That's almost like a trap.
That's exactly. Oh! A back kick. And Ric Flair.
It doesn't matter if he's got a shirt and pants on. And
Piper. Shows.
Watch when Piper sees what's going on. Figure four on the floor on Six.
Yeah, but there's too many guys right there. Hall's right there. Piper can see this, I would think. And Flair right now getting triple teamed.
Come on, Piper.
Hey, Roddy, go get him. Ric Flair all alone here. Where's Piper going?
Where is Piper?
Flair fighting three men.
Flair's getting beat up by three men. Where's Piper? He's just standing in there.
Piper.
What is he doing? He's pleading for Piper to help him.
Piper! Piper!
Come on, Roddy! Here it comes! Roddy Piper is there!
What do you think, what is your take on, it looked like it was going to be going somewhere, where it was, because the papers fall from the ceiling with propaganda that says Tradition bites, and Flair is being held by NWO while they're beating the piss out of him. He's yelling Piper. And Piper's standing in the ring for a fucking hour. And then he decides to go help with a belt, his like strap belt, and whip the NWO as it goes into commercial. So, making me think that he's going to fucking turn.
Yeah, I mean, he was just that... Do you think it was just a fuck-up where he was just standing there?
It can't be. I can't fucking... I mean, this is a major thing, and he doesn't know that they're coming and beating him up, and he's supposed to be... I mean, what the fuck? That's a major, if that's the fucking case. That's, like, insane.
I have no idea, like, because they have to... Spoiler, like, they do mention it the week after, and they'd want an explanation for it, but, I mean, yeah, it's just... It was weird what he was doing, like, unless he was just in a trance with the...
with the paper.
With the shit. Yeah, with the paper.
But, like, yeah, they do ask for an explanation. They do bring it up, but it's not like something fucking happens then. Which makes you go, does something eventually is going to go down here? Or, I mean, why would they bring it up if they don't plan to? Like, you'd almost ignore it if it was a fuck-up. But it's almost like, hey, maybe we'll think about doing something. Nah, never mind. Forget it.
Maybe it was a fuck-up. That's the thing.
God. All right, let's get to Raw, because that is it for Nitro. They're done. Now, sit back and relax on your while you're at work, everybody, or wherever you're doing this, if you're playing video games and listening to the show at the same time, whatever you would like to listen to. Usually, it's I picture people working and having their headphones in their ear while they're busy at work doing nonsense or driving. So, get ready for a shit ton of clips, because right off the bat, they review... there's a review of Austin and Brett from last week where the Hart Foundation shows up and everything was happening like with Anvil, all that kind of shit, right? So we get Pillman speaking in the ring right off the bat. Austin shows up on the Titantron and then runs to the ring. And then you'll hear Owen and Bulldog try to fucking jump him, but he's too smart for that.
I know there's a lot of preconceived notions about who Brian Pillman is. I know there's a lot of people that think I'm crazy. But I'm here to tell you, there's a sensitive side to Brian Pillman. And quite frankly, I'm very, very deeply religious. And since last week, after playing the carnage of Raw over and over again in my mind, I became deeply disturbed. Nightmares, sleepless nights. I didn't know if what I had done was right. But thankfully, a glorious awakening overcame me. I was overwhelmed with the spirit of truth. And since that day, I have been compelled to pray for all of our misgivings. And right now, I want to ask each and every one of you to join me in prayer. I want to ask each and every one of you from the top row down to the front to bow your heads, close your eyes, and join me in prayer. I'd like to pray for Bret Hart that he may have a speedy, quick, and successful recovery. I'd like to pray for all the people who rejoiced in the savage brutality of last week's show. May they be forgiven. And I'd like to pray for all those, even those many among us who exulted in the devious actions of Stone Cold Steve Austin. May you be forgiven as well. And I'd like to pray for the millions across America, this great land, who savor the bloodthirsty violence that pervades our society. Please continue to bond with me in prayer, because I like to pray for the complete annihilation and destruction of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'd like to pray that in this very building tonight, he be stricken down so that he may never, ever again practice his evil craft. And I'd like to pray to each and every one of you out there now to open your hearts and minds and let Bret Hart in. Let Bret Hart, the savior of the WWF, into your heart and soul.
Right, Kobe. For once in my life, I ain't got a lot to say. You better pray that I don't come out there and beat the hell out of you. Speaking of saviors, not even Bret Hart is going to be able to save your ass.
I'm not afraid of the devil. It says in the good book, an eye for an eye, and to turn the other cheek.
Oh, no. Oh, no, this is not what we expected. This is not what we expected. And this capacity crowd clamoring for Stone Cold Steve Austin to come to the ring.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Well, I'd say that Pillman's daring him to come out here.
The annihilation of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and we almost saw it. Bulldog. Owen, what a trap.
Brother Owen. Brother Davey. Please, we need a moment of silence. We're still in the midst of our prayer. Before we were so rudely interrupted, I'd like to finish our moment of prayer because, just like they say, the family that prays together stays together. Let's get down on one knee. Let's hope.
Close your eyes this time, McMahon, and bow your head.
Bless this day and this opportunity for Brother Owen and Brother Davey and myself to show our thanks. Brother Davey, is there anything you would like to pray for?
I'd like to pray for you, Brett, and hope you get better.
Brother Owen, please enlighten us to your prayer.
I want everybody out here to please, please pray for my brother Brett and help him heal.
Wait a minute, what's
that? And also, we're all decent human beings. Please pray for Stone Cold Steve Austin to heal and come to the other side and realize his mistake. I'm begging of you, pray for Brett and pray for Stone Cold Steve Austin. He needs our help. He needs our help. Bow down and pray for him to heal.
This is a bordering on the absurd.
Yes, we also pray for Steve. Because we will.
Austin's coming back. He's coming back with an axe handle.
What?
Stone Cold Steve Austin coming back with that axe handle.
Get away! In the net!
Austin almost got one of them. Stone Cold Steve Austin. His presence felt here already tonight. Who knows what's going to happen tonight on Raw. And by the way, the Hitman Bret Hart is on his way.
I don't know where the hell you're going, but you better give your soul to the Lord or somebody, because your ass is mine.
Oh my goodness. Stone Cold Steve Austin, no doubt, will be with us, ladies and gentlemen, all throughout tonight's event, just as he was last week on Raw. Welcome, Vince McMahon, here along with Jerry the King Lawler.
All right. After that, we get Pillman in the back praying. I'll put that together with the next clip because it's going to be like clip and then something and then clip and then something on this thing that we got going on today. Rockabilly versus Flash Funk and Bret Hart arriving to the show. And then Bret Hart talks. He has an interview after he had just had surgery. So he is in a wheelchair during this. Have a listen to these two.
Brought here safely tonight, that he doesn't incur any more injury to his beloved knee and can arrive safely and soundly to see his brother Owen, his brother-in-law Davey, and so I can greet him with our best wishes. Please hear my prayer.
I know where Brian Pillman's coming from, and it's great to see him on his hands and knees praying. But Brian, no matter how much you pray, every once in a while, one slimy, rotten hyena breaks through and makes the kill on a lion. A real lion, the king of the jungle. But he didn't kill this lion, he just wounded me. But all the praying in the world won't help the likes of Stone Cold Steve Austin the scum of America. You know, I realized last week when I was wrestling Stone Cold Steve Austin that it wasn't just one hyena, because hyenas don't hunt by themselves. It's a whole pack. That's what you signify to me. You're all just a lousy, rotten pack of lousy, stinking hyenas.
Now he's testifying.
America, the American wrestling fan. Huh, you're a disgrace around the world. Around the world, they'll still appreciate heroes. And they appreciate someone who stands up for the truth. And that's exactly what I stood up for. I was a real hero. And I stood up and I told you the truth. And what did I get for it? All those years of service, what did I get? I found that lousy, stinking creep in the ring trying to rip my leg off, trying to end my career. You know, I don't care what you think of me, but I know one thing, that I never deserved that. You know, all you have to do is watch the television. You can see how bloodthirsty the American wrestling fans are. You want your little blood. You want the snap of the bones. You want blood poured all over the place because you're a sick, depraved society. Well, I knew it would come down to this sooner or later. And I've had to lower my standards and lower myself to that same ilk so that I could prove, as I always have and I always will, that I'm still the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Aren't you sick of that? Don't you just hate that? But I keep talking about how I'm the best. Yeah? Well, now you know how the rest of the world feels about the United States of America. I'm just gonna say one thing. I'm back. I'll be out of commission for a little while. Go ahead and chant your USA. My mother's American. Stone Cold Steve Austin. These are your people. That's fine. Because the way I look at things, that ambulance that brought me here tonight better stay real close. Because I can promise not just the likes of Stone Cold Steve Austin, but scum like Shawn Michaels, before this night is over, maybe we can get you a nice ride to the hospital where you people can drool and bulge your eyes and grind your teeth and clench your fists at all the violence and gore. But this time, the Hart Foundation will be giving it out instead of receiving it. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, your, not only your days, but your hours and your minutes are numbered. You people make me sick. Get me out of here.
I think this is, I'm really thrilled with this part of Brett's career. It really is the best part of his career ever.
Yeah, definitely. This is what took Brett over the line in terms of being just regular Bret Hart to being one of the greatest.
Yeah. Furnace and LaFon versus the Legion of Doom. Now, this is interesting because now they're turning Furnace and LaFon bad guys because everyone's bored from them. So what are you going to do? So here's two clips back.
Their promos for turning bad are boring as well.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny. If you listen to this, you hear the French guy. So frustrating. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. So they give an interview in that little box on the screen. And then JR interviews him and says, we heard what you said in the beginning of the match. And they just pretty much repeat it. So yeah. Here's the two interviews.
Why in their mind that they have not been accepted here in the WWF?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. We take pictures. We sign autographs. These people don't realize that we're international superstars, and they can't cope with our style.
And Doug, what do you think the major difference is between your team and the Legion of Doom?
I'll tell you, the biggest difference is we're professional wrestlers. They come out here dressed like clowns. You know, the other thing is the fans. These guys play a home game every night they wrestle. If we had that kind of support, we'd have the championship belts right now.
Very frustrating.
I know you guys had some things to say about the Legion of Doom before we went on the air, but what did that cost you that matchup?
Well, it's just like we said before. It's so frustrating around here. These guys play a home field advantage every night. We're getting tired of it. We had to come in here. I had to do the referee's job. They got the illegal guy. It's just getting out of hand.
Are you two blaming the fans on your loss?
Never mind. It took two of them to be one of us. And all I'm saying is, rematch and rematch soon.
Well, at least they're competitors, no doubt about that, and great wrestlers all over.
So as I was saying to you, I think one of these guys are dead, but I'm thinking it's the long-haired guy. I think that's Furnace. Doug Furnace. I think he's dead. So next we have... I will. I'll find out after before the show's done. Ahmed Johnson is talking about...
Black.
That too. He's talking about putting the Sultan in the hospital from a match the week before. Is this the end of the Sultan? This might be the last time we've ever seen Sultan, and this was the way to get him out. Ahmed Johnson killed him.
I'm a few weeks ahead of this, and I can't say that I saw him again.
So this might be the point where he left. So you know what? We also should make a point of saying on April 28th, 97, we don't see the Sultan anymore. How long before we see Rikishi, and how long is his hair?
It's shoulder length, and I think we see him at some point in 98, maybe a year's time.
I think you're crazy with that shoulder length hair. The back is shoulder length, not the fucking whole thing. It's all the same size, and I think it's all about 3 inches.
What?
Yeah. His whole hair wasn't long.
What do you mean the whole hair wasn't long?
Like, it was all the same length. It wasn't like his bangs went to his shoulders. Like, every hair is 3 inches, I think.
No, I think it's a bit longer than that. Really? You think it's just like normal hair slicked back?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think it reaches his nose. I don't know if it reaches his eyebrows.
So how long till he does debut? I think it's over a year.
Oh, man. That'll be good. Yeah, we're going to look that up one up, too. When does Rikishi debut?
Because he does a babyface with Too Cool, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, but he was in the... I think he had, like, maybe two matches before they, like, said, let's dance. And then it was like, oh, because you expected him to be an asshole. And then he was like, oh, this is fun guy. You know, he turned into fucking Brodus Clay.
Is that what Bray Wyatt's going to do now?
I got to tell you, I enjoy this. It has potential. That's what I'll say. It has potential. I have hope because it's very different. And I said, look, he looks actually handsome, doesn't he? He looks like a fucking good-looking guy.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, you're crazy. here is Ahmed Johnson talking about the Sultan, followed by Owen dedicating his match to his loving brother, Brett.
In pretty much of a foul mood, your match last week with the Sultan resulted in the Sultan going to the hospital. Ahmed, what about it?
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to apologize for my actions last week. But I don't know what you expect from me, Vince. I don't know what anybody expects from me anymore. You got me going against three guys doing in a game fight by myself. I'm just for the game. You want a game fight? You got it, Farouk. Does anybody want me? I'm right here. You want it? You got it. You want me to get crazy? I'll get crazy. Sitting here apologizing. For what? You gotta have to fight three guys? Three guys trying to kill me? I'm a gang member, baby. Remember that?
All right, I think we've heard enough of this.
Let's stop the music. Cut the music. Tonight, a very big match with Rocky Maivia. Brett, I'm going to win this one for you. I'm dedicating this match to my loving brother, Brett. He's the dearest thing to all of us. Brett, this one's for you, brother. We love you.
McMahon, what's wrong with these fans? Why are they booing that? That's heartwarming.
Now, all of a sudden, we hear Jerry in that, Jerry's a fucking fan of Bret Hart and now because he's a bad guy.
Yeah, it's like, I remember, the thing is, they've got a little bit more hardcore here, but do you remember where, or like adult here, but a lot of people say, oh, they were influenced by ECW, but if you remember what Jerry Lawler was doing in 93 when he was attacking Bret's mother and dad and all that, like, that was pretty much, that wasn't really kid-friendly.
Like, no, Lawler's yeah, that wasn't.
Lawler's never been a kid-friendly act, but so he hates the guy for 4 years, and then he just comes around.
Yeah, because he's a bad guy with the fans. But meanwhile, he shits on America, so he should be like, fuck this guy, too. You know, but he doesn't play that game, I guess. He's a typical bad guy. We get Owen versus Rocky Maivia for the IC title. And Owen Hart wins the IC title off Rocky Maivia. This is starting of the downfall of Rocky. We're going to see this in the upcoming weeks now.
Where, what did he win with it? What is it? What moves he win with?
I remember how he won before I saw it. I don't know why it's so clear in my head, but he does. I don't even know what the fuck you call it, but if Rock is standing up and Owen is facing his back, Owen jumps up with his legs spread so his feet go under Rock's armpits.
That's
on
right.
both sides, and he rolls backwards into a fucking rolling pin, kind of schoolboy, but with the feet. And I'm like, that's a fucking wild one. But eventually, Rock's going to fuck up his knee. That's how he's going to fucking go away. But we still need to see the Die Rocky Die sign.
I wanted you to call what the move was called, so because I couldn't think what it was called.
Oh, God, I don't have a fucking clue what that move would be called.
It was the reverse monkey flip cradle is what I have it down as.
Fuck. Well, it makes sense. Rock's in there. It's a monkey flip.
That's just me putting together the name of three moves and ended up a reverse monkey flip schoolboy.
I should go back to see what the fuck they actually try to call it.
Wikipedia will be named somewhere.
It's got to be. It's got to have a name. Austin speaking in the ring, and Brett shows up on the Titantron, and then that is followed by a Shamrock video package, which, again, WWE proves why they are better at the video packages.
Who wants to see a wheelchair match? All you got to do, Bret Hart, is wheel your little carcass down here, and I promise you, you have my word that I'll sit here and fight you wheel to wheel. I take that back. I ain't gonna promise that because I'm a lying SOB. I'd come out of this wheelchair, stomp a mud hole in your ass, and walk it dry. This whole thing, every single one of you hearts, Brian Pillman, the whole thing is designed because the last thing you want to see is Stone Cold Steve Austin as the World Wrestling Federation champion. You talk about my people. I look in the mirror each and every day and see my people. On May the 11th, The Undertaker, you will indeed see the coldest day in hell. Because come hell or high water, 4, 5, 10, 15, or 20 hearts, I'm going to be there and I'm going to whip the Undertaker's ass. You're looking at the next WWF champion, and that's the bottom line. Cause Stone Cold says so.
Hey, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know that ambulance that I rode in tonight? Well, before the night is through, you will be riding in it all busted up in pieces. And that's the bottom line.
If anybody's going in the ambulance, it's every one of your asses.
Oh, my goodness.
You going after him?
I have no idea.
It's crazy.
What's going to happen?
It'll be bad.
Stay with us.
At Ken Shamrock, ladies and gentlemen, get to know this extraordinary human being a little bit better. Here's a look at Ken Shamrock.
His image is cast in riveting yet chilling mystique, especially by those who have faced him.
I'm a challenger. I love challenges. And I always put myself into challenging situations. And so I'm going to work to be the best, to challenge myself. It's another chapter in my life, and it's a different challenge.
On the threshold of his greatest challenge, Shamrock relishes the opportunity.
And I can tell you this, the WWE is going to be the biggest challenge I've ever had yet, okay? Because I'll tell you this, it's not just going in wrestling. It has a whole tree that goes with it. It is going to be probably the most difficult thing that I've ever tried to do.
The brief glimpse of Shamrock has been nothing short of impressive. With a single-minded purpose, he fears no one.
And I'm making a challenge on national TV in front of all the American people. Because Mike Tyson, as far as I'm concerned,
I don't see failure, you know? I'm afraid of failure. And so being afraid of failure is not failing. You just go out, and you prepare for it, and you do what you can do. And that word just doesn't enter your mind. You do whatever it takes.
His preparation has fueled his passion to succeed and embodied the spirit of his lifelong journey.
I think in a lot of ways, the will to win is the will to prepare to win. The reason why I am who I am is because of what I went through. And I think the reason why I look at things the way I look at them is because of what I went through. I'm a very fortunate person to be where I am right now with the kind of life that I had. But I had a lot of people help me along the way.
Here comes the little speedsters. What's up, boys?
Next time, we'll revisit that lifelong quest and come to recognize the man within the ultimate fighting machine.
You know, when this was going on, I figured Shamrock's going to be shit. You know what? All in all, for a guy who was MMA, did pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Did you notice something here, which I never did? So we all know the Ken Shamrock music.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if they were like dubbing in a different music here because they didn't have rights to his music, because some of Jim Johnson's stuff they can't use. But eventually, as I watched further on, the proper
changes.
Yeah, this music that he started out with was terrible.
Yeah, you know, I didn't ever realize that he had different music either. I was just like, oh, I guess this is his beginning music before he fucking got something. And it's very 80s, 90s, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much like that. Okay, Jesse James versus Vader. Vader's got to get a win here because he has to be a bully, or as Ryback says, a bully. And then JR has to get into the ring with him because it's this whole bully thing and that Shamrock is going to beat the bully. So JR interviews him. And then after that's done, it's Goldust getting ready for a match, telling Marlena she's not allowed to come ringside tonight. And for some reason, this interview stuck, or this part stuck in my head, probably because of the speech impediment. And I always fucking giggle with a Goldust speech impediment that he has, like using W's for L's, shit like that. And he just keeps saying, it's no place for a lady. It's no place for a lady. You're not going to the ring tonight. No place for a lady. So he's got the same speech impediment as Tom Brokaw over him. Here's the interview, and here's Goldust. I'd
like to ask you a couple of questions, if you don't mind. Everybody knows the ordeal you've gone through in Kuwait. I just want to know if you have any remorse, if you have any shame for the embarrassment that you put your family through, you put the WWF through, you put all these fans through. I don't care if they like you or not. You've embarrassed a lot of people. You have any remorse? Do you feel ashamed of yourself?
Let me tell the whole world one time, once and for all. I went to Kuwait to do a job, and I happened to do my job very, very well, and that's beat up people.
Nothing wrong with that.
So as far as remorse or regrets, I'm going to say it to you one last time. I apologize for nothing. I apologize to no one.
All right, a second question, if you have the moment here. As long as you've been in professional wrestling, I'm sure you've been asked a zillion times if wrestling is fake or not. Now, I'm not going to ask you that question because I don't agree with the question. But don't you think you overreacted just a little bit when this guy in Kuwait asked you somewhat of a stupid question?
Is Ross nuts or what?
Hey, Big Mouth, you know what? I can finish that interview that I started over in Kuwait you right here and right now.
That wouldn't be advisable.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, look at this
guy,
man.
What are you, a big tough guy from Oklahoma? Is that what you are?
I'm doing my job. I'm asking questions. That's all I'm doing.
You're out here acting like an idiot. I'm not out here to be insulted by you or anybody. Not by him. Not by you. Not by the WWF. And certainly not by all these spoonheads out in the audience.
I'm just doing my job, asking a question. Don't you think you overreacted?
And I'm telling you that you're stupid and you need...
I don't need that, I'll tell you that.
You need, maybe, for me...
Hey, listen.
To finish off what I started in Kuwait, maybe that's what you need.
No, I don't need...
Maybe that's exactly
Now look at this,
what
McMahon.
You need.
Look at this!
All right. Hey, come on. Hey, come on.
Hold on.
Wait a minute, Kid Shamrock.
No.
Shamrock's in there. Shamrock now. Oh. Shamrock. Watch Vader. Shamrock wants Vader. What a bully. What a bully.
We get into the ring, it ain't gonna be Vader time. It's gonna be hard time.
Oh my goodness, it will be hard time indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Ken Shamrock against the man they call Vader. No holds barred on the 11th of May, live on pay-per-view from Richmond, Virginia. Ah, yeah. However, coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, Goldust goes one-on-one with Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
No, I don't want you to go tonight.
Why?
This is very dangerous.
I don't care. I'm going.
Why not? Not tonight.
Yeah, I'm going.
There's no place for a lady. Where I'm going tonight, there's no place for a lady.
So we get Triple H versus Goldust. Marlena shows up anyway, and like a typical woman, she doesn't listen to her man, shows up. And powder in the eyes of China during this. And she's blind and ends up choking out Triple H because he walks up to her and she just feels a body and starts choking him because she can't tell who that is. Meanwhile, she's been jerking him off, so she should be able to tell. I wonder how soon he started fucking her because he met her at a gym, so he knew her before this. It wasn't like he just met her. But I'm looking at her face, and I'm like, man, that's rough. It's really fucking manly.
I don't understand how you do that. You've got to be gay.
Yeah, I understand after the surgeries. You know, but right now, it's, it's, that's a fucking, man.
You're a fucking celebrity, and the company are paying for escorts to take you down to the ring for a long time. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, you got to be, unless it's just like, you know how, like, Nash and Hall say, like, the ring rats are fucking ugly, and the horsemen went around fucking all the fat girls that actually watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't probably leave it. No one left the hotel. They just waited for them to come to them, and they weren't fussy about what they looked like.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? You know? Who gives a shit?
Maybe this whole thing is just like, okay, it's the beautiful women don't watch wrestling, and it's the type of celebrity where it's like, only attracts a certain type of woman, so you take it. But at the end of the day, you're still going to have, like, money and cars, and women are shallow enough just to go for that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and also, it's like, whatever. I mean, I fucked plenty of fat broads just because they were there. It's like, who cares? They're up to having fun. And it's like, whatever. I mean, and a lot of them are fucking fantastic. They'll go the extra mile. You get the hot ones that are fucking laying there.
I watched like an albino and a Somalian come out of Big Brother the year after me and fuck women. Like, the Somalian guy, his name was like Mohammed, and he like bent over this, and it's like, it's not discriminating against Somalians, but he's like a really like ugly one, and he had like some model like bent over a sink in his hotel.
Yeah, I mean, you don't fuck under fucking eights, right?
You can't marry these. You can't marry these people. Like, honestly, you can't.
When's the last time, if you could hear me? Can you hear me? Are you there? Billy has... There he is. He drove out of the fucking Bermuda Triangle. When's the last time you fucked something under an eight?
It's what? Somebody under eight years of age?
No, I hope not. Under the scale of eight, yes.
I don't know. It's subjective, but I don't know.
I've seen the ones you've had. They're fucking top of the line, like, model types. So, I mean, I haven't seen you, like, I haven't seen anybody with any fucking fat on them or anything either.
No, I know. Like, I mean, at the moment, there's this one girl I'm talking to that wanna meet me, but she's, like, too hot. Like, she's a 10, and I can't even, like, my interest in, this is weird, right? We're doing a therapy show now, but my interest in her is not very high because she's a 10.
Jesus.
And for me, it's not sustainable because it's like, I can't walk around with you because, first of all, she's like 6 foot tall. Second of all, like, she looks perfect. And third of all, like, I'm working on like eight, but I'm far more than this fucking 10 who, I don't know, it's very off-putting.
You're going to have to send a picture. I'm going to have to evaluate and see.
Oh, I've got so many. I'll send it
good.
To you.
Good. We'll get on that.
I'll do it while we're on now. But,
all right.
You know, while we're off subject.
Yeah.
While we're off subject, and I was thinking it's been the end of the show, Big Gold Belt was taken out of circulation because they were embarrassed that Ric Flair put it on WWE.
Wow. So that was when that happened. When he left is when they fucking changed belts.
Yeah, so they changed it to something that looked exactly like the Winged Eagle WWE belt. I think so that's what they did. So then what happened was that Big Gold was reintroduced as the new WCW International title. And then Ric Flair and Sting had a match to unify the WCW title and the WCW International title, which was Big Gold. And then when Ric Flair unified the titles, he kept Big Gold as the unified WCW title.
Wow. Wow, I might have to go back into the Saturday nights from when Flair left to see when they introduced it.
While you're doing the show, I read all of that.
And while you're driving.
And while I'm driving, yeah. Safe driving.
Exactly.
That's what happened.
See, he's driving on the wrong side of the road.
So what we saw is the main event of Starrcade 93 where Flair beat Vader for the WCW title, which looked like the WWF championship. So that's what you saw.
Huh. All right, here's a bunch of clips in a row for you, and we're going to go through it when we come back. Have a listen to, there's a commercial in here, actually, for a reality check when they used to do these commercials, and we'll explain.
The Undertaker
And it will be The Undertaker who has to live with what happened last week with Paul Bearer and Mankind. Nonetheless, they have been suspended. It was brought out by JR. Any remorse, Undertaker, for the actions last week of Paul Bearer?
Well, no man deserves to have the flesh burned from his face. But there is an old saying, the one who covets the flame ends up being burnt.
Indeed. World Wrestling Federation title at stake, Stone Cold Steve Austin, your opponent, in less than 2 weeks' time. What about it?
Stone Cold Steve Austin, he seems to have quite a bit of momentum built up. But you understand this, Austin. If you come in distracted, you may leave in far worse shape than what a wheelchair will take you. Son, you may just rest in peace.
When we return next, The Undertaker goes one-on-one with the British Bulldog.
Please bless Bulldog with the courage to maim, cripple, and torture that sick freak, to make him feel the wrath of the Hart Foundation, to make him feel each and every one of those nails that go through his pine box and into his...
Nicholas was such a sweet, gifted child.
Look, Mom and Dad, straight A's.
But lately he's been acting quite belligerent.
Broccoli, cauliflower, you treat me like a dog and you expect me to smile. I'm not cleaning my room, son, and that's the bottom line, because I said so.
He keeps muttering something about whoop-ass.
It's like he's not our little boy anymore.
You two are completely pathetic!
What is going on? Stone Cold Steve Austin pacing the hallway. Uh-oh.
The following world title contest is scheduled for one fall. Approaching the ring from Manchester, England, weighing 253 pounds, he is the co-holder of the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Championship and also the current WWF European Champion, the British Bulldog.
Cut the music! I'd like to take this time right now to dedicate this match to the man who introduced me to my beautiful wife, Diana. He is my inspiration. Brett, I'm gonna win this match for you and become the World Wrestling Federation champion. I love you, Brett.
Well, indeed, the non-title matchup.
And the last thing you just heard is Vince going, this is a non-title matchup because Bulldog fucks that up. I'm going to win the fucking championship. Meanwhile, that's like the whole point of like Brett's supposed to get this championship. So, you know, it kind of like Brett would be like, well, what the fuck are you doing stepping on my turf trying to win the fucking title, even if it was a title match, which it wasn't.
Yeah, it was, and Bulldog also has this fucking, this European title, which he sporadically brings out with him. I'm certain he's supposed to bring out a lot more.
Yeah, he's carrying the tag, wearing the European sometimes. And, you know, everyone dedicates these matches. So we get Bulldog and Taker. Before that, you heard a commercial with a kid dressed as Austin, which I thought was fucking fantastic. Pillman praying. Undertaker on the Titan Trump. So Bulldog and Taker, you get it's for non-Euro, non-championship world, and Owen shows up, then Austin shows up. Austin goes after fucking Brett on the stage, and as I mentioned to start the show, going over everything, Neidhart shows up. This is where we get fucking Neidhart comes out and hits Stone Cold on the back with a crutch, And he goes flying off the stage. Meanwhile, it looks like he just jumps off the stage and then has to, like, lay down. So now Neidhart's in there. That big bastard. That big rhino. You got a job for him. And so he is now having a job. And I guess this is in between drug stints or he's in the middle of it. And then this show ends with Pillman praying and smiling at the camera because his prayers were answered that the show ended with Austin being carted off. And I always remembered this clip because I thought I remembered a snot hanging from Pillman's nose. But I did not see that during this.
Maybe you remember something else. It was like quite... Didn't they like go right in, pan right into Pillman's face like he was a complete nut here?
Yeah, with that smile like he fucking got it. And I thought it was because his head was down and his nose wasn't, it wasn't like a fat snot. It was like a drippy snot. And I thought it was like on the tip of his nose dripping. And I just remembered that where I was like, what the fuck? And it's modern day like I remember a Hacksaw with that fucking snot hanging out of his mouth and the fucking rumble.
You know what? You think they took it out?
I don't know. I mean, it would have been hard to do for a drop.
Do you remember Owen with the gob around his mouth?
Oh, God, yes. After WrestleMania, yeah, he won and looked like somebody shot a load on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wipe your face. You fucking, somebody blasted on you.
There was that one, and then before, I think he had one. I think he did that regularly. I think he did it when he turned heel as well. And
it's dry mouth.
I kicked your leg out your leg.
Yeah, I kicked the leg out of your leg. All right, well, that is your review this week. They're not going ahead for a while, so we'll be doing those ratings once they finally get to each other. But at this point, unopposed, and Nitro is still beating them. And I'm like, why wouldn't you be able to watch both? What the fuck? But
I'll send a girl now.
Okay. And we'll look at this girl while... here we go. Let's see. Oh, next to all the titles. My goodness, William. What's wrong with you? Jeez. That's like a fucking play. You look a little tranny, but that does, it's because of the lips. But I bet you without makeup, it's a different story.
I hope so, because it's ridiculous. Also, she's like fucking really like tall. She's like, apparently the girl.
You could see that.
She told another girl, she basically was asking who you're texting, and it was like, oh, no, it's nothing like that, because he's friends with my boyfriend. So I am friends with this other girl's boyfriend. Hmm. And she goes, let me see what he looks like. And she goes, oh, yeah, I like him. So the girl told me.
I like him. It's all takes.
Like, oh, yeah. So she's like going, oh, I'll set you single. I'll set you guys up. So I get alone with the whole thing. I was like, yeah, I know that girl. I've seen her on TV, because I have watched her on TV. I wouldn't even think about, you know, bothering with it because she's so like ridiculous. So turns out I asked that question. I goes, is she tall? She looks tall. I'm thinking 5'9" is too tall for me, really. Like, but I'll go with it because she's so hot. She's like six. She's 6 foot.
Yeah, but you're what, six? What are you, 6'1"?
Yeah.
Yeah. If she wears heels, you're fucked. But otherwise, who cares? I mean, listen, just to do. I mean, Christ, you don't even have to fucking date her, but someone that good looking, that fucks up your brain for fucking a guy. Because, I mean, I've lost my mind when the girl is, like, too good looking. You don't know how to fucking behave. You don't know how to, you call too much or text. What, you know, it's, you're just on their balls too much. You're like, every guy in the world is trying to get at him. It fucks up your brain, which I don't know how Rusev could fucking deal with it because his wife constantly showing fucking shit.
I've seen every guy like trying to like hit up on her. She gets like 1,000 likes on her photos and everything. So the thing is that that's not made me too bothered because the thing is that I've not stayed with these kind of girls before.
Yeah.
But I have been with these kind of girls before. So I'm not bothered. For me, it's like realistic. It's unrealistic. And also in addition to that, I've been eating like a fucking pig for about a month. So I need time anyway. The weird thing is that with me, and this is a complete accident, right? With me deliberately not wanting to see her right now, I'm happy coming home and meeting up with the 8, but I'm not meeting up with the 10 until the weight's gone, right? So I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm away. I'm going back to New York again. And now I'm going back again. And, oh, I need to spend some time with my kid because I've been away for a month. And, you know, I might be free on this week, on this day. I might be free, like, first week of May and all this shit. And I'm playing, and I'm saying it like that because I'm really, like, trying to get time for my fat burners and all that shit to work. And I'm thinking I'm going to do this magical, you know, lose 10 pounds in a week thing, right? So at least get into a slightly better condition.
Yeah.
And she's taking it as, like, she texts me first, like, or does the double text. The thing is, these fucking women, it completely reverses.
And oh, yeah.
I'm not doing it because I don't care. I'm doing it because I don't want to see her right now. I want it. I'm, for my own mindset, like, I'm trying to hold it off to, like, at least May, second week as well, is what I'm targeting. But she's taking it as, oh, this guy's not bothered. This guy's really busy. Yeah. This guy's like, you know,
no guy does that. No guy. Every guy, if a guy has plans and she says, well, I want to meet up now, he'll drop everything in a fucking heartbeat for her. And you're doing the opposite.
It's a genius. And I swear to God, I need to, I don't know where, why I learned this month, but I'm going to take this away and implement it onto everything now that I do.
Yeah. I mean, it's good in, like, I always say, it's like, do as I say, not as I do, because I wouldn't be able to do it. But I know you should. And I've fucked up things in the past many times where I'm like, fuck me, you know?
My instincts are I want to fucking fuck normally. Like, sure. That's the thing. Like, as soon as I can, get it. Like why wait? You know what I mean? Like, get it.
You want to lock her in a room like her name's Elizabeth.
Yeah, you want to get it done before they change their mind.
Yes.
Like, because, you know, they got other... Like, this has happened to me before. Like, I was, like, there was a girl called, like, Susan once, and I was, like, holding off for a week or two because I actually legit had stuff to do. And she actually met somebody who she's still with and is engaged to 6 years later. She met the person she ended up getting engaged with on the week that I was, like, stalling.
That's funny. I've banged somebody. Like, I've had a couple of these where I banged them and, like, they were in the middle of talking to a guy. And they've ended up marrying that guy. But I banged them in, like, the early stages of them talking to them. And I was like, ooh, I got through. Thank God I did that then because I would have been fucked.
That's the thing that puts me off, like, getting serious with any of these women. Because, like, if they start seeing me and they've been dating, like, fucking three guys at the same time and I get chosen, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, it's still like, for me, it's still, like, invaded my time. And it's, like, it's just fucking embarrassing. Like, imagine, like, nothing happened.
I've kind of thought that before. I'm like, well, what the fuck is this? You know, you were talking. Meanwhile, I'm like, but I got to look in a mirror first because I was plenty busy. You know, it was like I was fucking up until the last second, you know, and then, okay, you know, it's fine. So I'm like, I can't hold something against somebody from past shit. Like, I bust my girlfriend's balls about, I'll ask her questions about past fucking dudes or something. And she'll say something, but I'll always turn it into a joke and flip it around and be like, how dare you have fucked someone in your past fucking years ago? I'm like, what's wrong? What are you, you fucking whore? You know?
It's different when everything crosses over. Let's finish the show up by giving that last fact because you need to find out the which one is dead.
Okay.
We promised it.
So. Okay, so the answer is Phil LaFon, Doug Furness, as I said. See, I keep getting them confused. You got to know that. LaFon is the French guy. Doug Furness died 2012.
Heart attack.
God, how did he die? Let's see.
It says here, like, atherosclerotic, hypertensive.
There you go, yeah.
That's a heart attack.
I can't even read that first word. That says, and then it's a, yeah, heart disease. So, yeah, heart failure. That's it.
Atherosclerotic.
Oh, atherosclerosis.
Atherosclerotic. I don't fuck knows. What does that mean?
That means a clogged artery of some sort, and he fucking died from his heart. So, all right. Tune in Sunday, where you have a cold day in hell. Did we think it was? Is that what this fucking one is?
Was it the go home show? Was it?
Actually, you know what? It's not. Next week is the go home show. I am mistaken. So next week we get Raw, and that is the go-home show to the In Your House. All right. We'll be here next week. Hope you are. We're out of time.